I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom,
what is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a steamy one out there, even more than yesterday, Brian, I think. Wow. Had to go to an event over the lunchtime hour and nearly melted my makeup right off my face. Not an easy environment for ladies that wear makeup or dress clothes or men in suits or basically anybody that's got to be outside working right now. It's toasty.
It feels like I'm on stage at all times because live theater is very hot and you have many clothes on you. And like you said, a lot of makeup. And
yeah, it's like costumes, just, you know,
awful. Just don't do it.
I got to wear a costume sometimes, not for the radio, but for the rest of my life. Please take care of yourselves out there. Check in on elderly folks, neighbors. Be sure if you've got an infant, especially, be very, very careful in the heat today, everybody. We got a great show lined up for you. I'm going to be joined at the top of the 3 o'clock hour by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel commentator James Causey. Really excited to have James on. I'm hoping to have him as a regular weekly guest for basically what's on your mind, James. I find what James has to share and what Mr. Causey writes about in the Journal Sentinel connects with the entirety of the state. And so I'm really looking forward to hopefully having and hosting Mr. Causey every week, more in a co-host type capacity to talk about what's on your mind and James's mind. Because there's just a whole heck of a lot going on. One of those things going on that I wanted to start with today was, Brian, I was ecstatic to hear about the governor of Maryland basically issuing a blanket clemency order for marijuana-related criminal offenses in the state of Maryland. Bravo, Governor Wes Moore. What were your thoughts? I mean, I was frankly pretty surprised to see that.
So right now I'm in the middle of a documentary called The Prison Experiment, Unlocked. And I'll spare you the details of the documentary, but I'm already have this on my mind. And especially with what happened in the with a warden going to jail just recently in this state, our prisons are overcrowded and understaffed, just in general, across the board. That's a blanket statement, but it's a true one because it just is that way. And if you can go and expunge the records of people for things that are like just non-offensive, just marijuana-related drug stuff, I'm not talking about marijuana plus everything else. I'm talking about just straight up guy had some marijuana on him and got locked up, or, you know, That type of stuff. Easy, just get off the books, less population. And you know what that means? Less tax burden for the taxpayer.
Yeah, that to me is the most interesting question is what is this costing taxpayers every year? How many people are we actually locking up? And how many people are we arresting, even if they're not locked up, due to marijuana related potential charges? And here's what, when I went out and read a bunch of statistics, I even looked at some analyses that I think people might consider conservative. And basically, without exception, there is agreement that we are spending tens of millions just in the state of Wisconsin in every element of basically the legal system processes, and that most estimates are likely on the extreme low end because there's not terrific record keeping that is reliable from every single county in the state about interactions with police that don't result in arrest or charges, and the charges that are brought and then later dismissed. A lot of that data is really imperfect. So again, a large swath of agreement that there is a good amount, if not an incredible amount, of taxpayer savings to be had. And when you stack that up with the referendum and the polling that have happened in the state of Wisconsin that basically show an overwhelming percentage of Wisconsinites believe that marijuana should absolutely be legal for medical purposes, and that still a majority believe it should be legal for recreational purposes as well, one has got to ask oneself eventually, what are we doing arresting, even pulling people over and locking people up about this? And let me be clear, Brian, and folks out there, I do not mean to suggest that it is acceptable for people to be high while driving. That is driving impaired and should not happen. I'm not talking about stopping people because they are exhibiting impaired driving. That should be happening because it is a public menace. Here's a statistic. In Wisconsin, of the nearly 200,000 arrests in 2023, 7% were for marijuana possession. What are we doing? I mean, just that 7%, just the police time and costs, sheriff's departments in arresting and processing people through our jails if they're taken in. I can speak from personal experience. The Milwaukee County Jail, we don't need people in there for minor weed offenses. Again, everybody is basically overcrowded and understaffed. I don't care if you're talking about county jails or the state facilities. Any extra people, let alone 7% of charges, arrests, that does not make any sense to me.
The whole thing bothers the heck out of me because you know what? It's all because Nixon wanted to get elected. We can't lock up the black people. We can't lock up the hippies for voting differently or being black or hippies, but we can lock them up because, oh, they all smoke marijuana. Now it's a Schedule I drug. Congratulations. Congratulations. You're doing the work of a guy, who, just a megalomaniac from 50, 60, 70 years ago. Good for you, everyone. Keep carrying that water for the thing that you can't die from doing too much of.
Yeah, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You want to get in on this conversation, you are more than welcome. I'm so glad that you brought up Nixon and what was actually happening when marijuana became a Schedule I drug. So many of us presume that it has always been illegal. Nope, not. We've got Tricky Dick to thank for that, which is extremely problematic if you understand the accurate historical context with which Brian, as he is wont to do, pithily reported out to all of us. And that is that Richard Nixon moved marijuana from basically being unscheduled to a scheduled drug because it provided a criminal basis to investigate all sorts of people that politically opposed Nixon. Does this have any echoes into present day American politics? Of course it does. But what it ended up doing was optimization of the legal system. Holy cow. I can't think of how many millions of people we have deprived of their liberty, cost us probably in the upwards of billions and billions of dollars to make weed illegal. It just doesn't make any sense to me. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. In 2023, marijuana possession in the state of Wisconsin accounted for 52.7% of all drug arrests. What are we doing? I would love to see Governor Evers put his political life on the line and do what Wes Moore has done. Wouldn't you, Brian? I mean, it seems this is where we need to be moving.
It's a simple, easy solution that actually benefits a lot of people. And by continuing to just, the sad thing is that it's practically legal here already anyway. So we've already gone past the ability for us to, like, let's say, catch the wave like Michigan or Colorado did with all their, you know, a boon as far as, you know, taxable income comes. Because guess what? I smoke on the regular and I haven't bought outside of this state in a while because you can buy legally in this state because the people who are against it have no idea what they're talking about. Even the people who are for it still have no idea what you're talking about. Because to be a politician, you can never have done anything wrong in your entire life, and especially smoking any sort of marijuana. Look at, I did not inhale. All these people are, of course you inhaled. You definitely inhaled. I mean,
what would be the point? Correct. I'm glad to see that I think our country has moved, and Wisconsinites have moved an incredible distance since the Bill Clinton I did not inhale. But here are the numbers. The ACLU in a 2013 study estimates that Wisconsin would save an average of $44.3 million of taxpayer money per year if cannabis was legal. Now, on the high end, estimates, especially if there was a clemency piece of that, right, top easily over $150 million a year in saved taxpayer money. Gee whiz, I wonder what we might be able to do with, I don't know, childcare, infrastructure, education. And here's what, $165 million in tax revenue left on the table by recent estimates. Because we haven't legalized marijuana, guess what, Brian? You put those two together and you have the potential net positive to Wisconsin taxpayers on a yearly basis, clocking in at over $300 million. I can think of a few other ways, maybe Scott holes to begin with. You know, again, infrastructure, road maintenance, helping family farmers, supporting our workers through things like affordable childcare subsidies, free school lunches. I can go on. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're kicking off the day talking about Governor Westmore of Maryland's clemency of over 170,000 marijuana-related convictions in the state of Maryland. What do you think? Why are we waiting here in Wisconsin when there's at least 300 mil on the line every year in taxpayer dollars? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
People dream high in the quiet of the night. You know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy, shiny toy with a price. You know that I bought it.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. We're talking about weed in Wisconsin. Why don't we have it yet? We're literally in a weed island here. Estimates, both recent and going back about a decade, when you put together basically the lost tax revenues that we would gain as a state, that taxpayers in the state would gain from legalizing marijuana, plus what it is costing us in terms of stopping people, arresting people, incarcerating people, processing people through the legal system, you add another huge chunk of change. And on an annual basis, that is estimated to be $300+ million a year in taxpayer dollars that we're either spending that we could save or revenue that we're leaving on the table. One estimate, this is just from one of our neighboring states, says that apparently $36 million of Illinois tax revenues from marijuana. Yeah, that's getting paid by Wisconsinites. And this hasn't even touched upon the human costs of keeping marijuana illegal in the state. It doesn't talk about the human costs of incarcerating and arresting people. You get arrested, you spend a night in jail, you miss your job, you get fired. It disrupts family. A conviction for marijuana, you got to check the box. Now, are you losing out on a job? Might you get fired from your job? All sorts of housing and other benefits are keyed off of that. Here's what I'd like to know. For every CEO that gets a golden parachute payout, for every corporation that dodges its corporation tax, bringing its effective tax rate down to under 10%, and every wealthy person that doesn't actually work for a living, hey, are they getting weed tested? You know, and are their tax breaks, which are effectively taxpayer giveaways, are those contingent upon a clear drug test or not ever having been arrested for weed? I'll tell you what, they ain't. Let's go to the phones. You want to join our conversation? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Angie from Monroe, welcome to the show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hi. Yeah. I actually helped somebody out once and had a roommate, and they didn't last long. It was like 2 weeks. Well, apparently they called it in, you know, that I was, I had like two plants. One actually died and the other looked like it worse than a Charlie Brown Christmas tree is how I called it. They tried claiming that I was selling this stuff and growing it enough to sell, by the way, on this, on the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And it was, my house got raided. I happened to not be home. I drove by while it was getting raided. It was insane. And they tried to claim my resin was smoke. And I'm like, I'm saving my resin because I'm poor and I can't afford weed sometimes. And they tried saying that was hash. And then my season stems, I was saving that because, again, I'm poor. And I was like, oh, maybe I can make tea out of this. So they tried claiming that as part of my weed. And they said I had over an ounce. And I was like, where?
Boy, would I love to have had an ounce. Thank you. If you find one, can you let me know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I had less than an eighth. It was amazing. But when they searched my house, I used to sell lingerie. And back in my back closet was a suitcase of lingerie. I think that's where they stopped because I had nothing in my house. It was great. I laughed about it. But $3,000 later, because they charged my ex trying to say he was selling it also, or my other half, sorry, to my ex. Tried saying that he was selling also, and he was growing also. And I was like, there wasn't enough for anything. It was, I mean, there was four leaves on the thing. I couldn't grow.
And Angie, you're from Monroe.
I'm sorry. I am. And I'm.
Well, I just, thanks so much for the call, Angie. I want to point out, you know, John Chisholm, the current sitting, soon to be retired district attorney from Milwaukee County, has published some statistics on arrests and prosecutions for marijuana-related crimes. Guess what? This will come as a shock to absolutely nobody. Prosecuted at a much higher level, many more arrests on a per capita or percentage basis in rural counties, many rural counties, not all, but many, than it is in your larger, more urban counties. And guess what, folks? White people and black people use weed at the same levels on a proportional basis. But guess who gets popped, prosecuted, and incarcerated at a far higher rate? Black folks. So it just, from an equal under the law and let's treat people fairly and similarly for similar crimes, it doesn't hold water that way either. Eric from Wauwatosa, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say, sir?
Yes. Hi. Hi, Maggie. Hi, Brian. And you just stole my thunder.
Because, well, you can
exactly
say it again.
Wisconsin refuses to change and this legislature refuses to even pass the most minor reform in the marijuana laws. And I believe it still stands that even though Milwaukee has a dollar forfeiture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if you get popped a second time, it still stands as a felony in Wisconsin, correct?
That is correct, Eric. And what a stupid law is that?
Well, it's, again, they're targeting groups of people. And they know that some people that look like them and live like them are going to get swept under the rug. But it's all about punishing and creating pain for black and brown folks. It's behind so much in this state. But if you can come up with another argument beyond that, that underlying argument beyond that, I've never found one. It just is what it is, according to me, of course, in my opinion. And it's just standing. I mean, that's exactly why they refuse to do it. And of course, the way laws are written, the way arguments are made, they can talk about a million different excuses and or reasons why that are completely legal and are completely justified, quote unquote, under the law. But it's
garbage. I always like to bring arguments back to, hey, how is this working for us? Is this fair? Are we treating people, again, similarly for similar behaviors. And the reality is it ain't working at all. You want to listen, I'm a lawyer. I have a lot of respect for the legal profession, but I'm sick of lawyers getting paid for having thousands and thousands of dollars by clients to defend them from these rinky-dink weed charges, which can turn into major catastrophic life disruptions. This is stupid. And you want to know who's king stupid of all of this? Brian, I'll give you one guess. Who's king stupid on marijuana in Wisconsin?
Robin Voss.
Yes, Robin Voss gets to be king stupid today on the Mackie Dawn Show. The man, his tune has changed so many times, I have lost track because I have, you know, the best producer in radio. We have a ton of that sound. If you're interested in participating in this discussion about weed in Wisconsin and what the heck we're doing, Maryland's getting it right. Why can't we in Wisconsin? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll take a listen to some of Robin Voss's changing tunes on weed in Wisconsin when we come back. Your farm update is next. Stay on the line, folks. While we go into the phones, join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back in just a minute.
I'm in favor of legalizing it. I've always said.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly coming to you live from downtown Waukesha here on the WAUK, but heard throughout the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always check out Civic Media in your local station by looking on the app. You can find your local station there, listen on the app, or, you know, the old-fashioned way on the radio. I want to take a moment to give congratulations to all of our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win winners. We had lots of folks, Mike from River Falls, Rich from Baraboo, Susan from McFarland, Mark from Prairie du Sac, John from Janesville, just to name a few. Those were some of the Wisconsin Dells prize package winners. How amazing. Congratulations to everyone, as well as our two grand prize winners, Tori in Kewaunee and Tammy in Baraboo. Again, congratulations to everybody. I hope you have a wonderful summer. No better place to be than Wisconsin and Milwaukee in the summer. Just ask Donald Trump. I joke. We're talking about weed in Wisconsin and why we simply can't seem to get this one right. We're going to listen to some sound from Robin Voss because follow the bouncing ball. It's a little bit hard to track. First, let's go to the phones. Y'all have been so patient. Annie from Watertown, what would you like to say this afternoon?
Many, many years ago, I heard the argument of anti-legalization, anti-amnesty side, the side. And what were they were saying was most people busted for marijuana were also involved in other drugs. And I could only think of my neighbor kid who was really desperate. He had lost a bunch of money and stuff. So he took what money he had and was buying some pot. Now, you know, I wish he would have asked me, but it was a big red flag. When he went to the guy to get it, it was already in baggies. And in each baggie, there was a pill. I don't know if it was ecstasy or something. So he was busted. So it wasn't just a pot bust. It was for other things. The worst of it is then he was put to work by the narcotic cops to go and buy. I mean, he's going and buying heroin from people you know, traveling all over the state making these buys for heavy drugs and everything. That was how he was under control of the cops. You know, and it was just very sad because it sort of really wrecked this young kid because, you know, he was just.
It is an incredibly sad story. There's two things I want to suss out of Annie's comments. Thanks so much for listening and calling, Annie. Appreciate you. The first is the level of sometimes overcharging that can occur. The prosecutors and police officers can use possession of weed to sort of juice up potential penalties related to arguably other more serious behavior to create incredible leverage on defendants to not take things to trial and to plead them out. The second thing I'll mention, which Annie was very adroitly explaining, is that oftentimes people can be, again, nearly extorted into becoming confidential informants for the police, which is an incredibly dicey gray area at best. A lot of times police officers don't have to, and for good reasons, but if there's any shadiness going on, it can be nefarious reasons, don't have to report who their confidential informants are. They can effectively send out CIs to entice, and yes, enticement, entrapment is a real thing, other folks in their circle of connections into committing more and more serious crimes. Annie's story, I am sad to say, is not unusual. Now, Brian, you asked me a really great question, and it just so happens we have one of our regular listeners, another lawyer on the line, Jeff from Shorewood. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you so much for calling. Brian, you had a question. Let's talk about it with Jeff. And again, nothing that Jeff or I say here is legal advice. We are not your lawyers, but let's have the discussion. Brian, what was your question?
All right. So I've not purchased any legal marijuana outside of this state. I have purchased THC products in this state. If, let's say, I get stopped by someone and they look at my stuff, how can they even prove whether it's THCA, Delta 8, or actual THC cannabis? On top of that, the stuff I buy legally in other states, half of that is mostly THCA with a little bit of regular THC. How does anyone figure that out? And how much does that all cost? I mean, what does it even mean if I can go and buy stuff that does the same exact thing in this state right now?
Hey, Jeff, welcome. You wanted to, you were just texting on the text line about this, and I thought I'd bring you in.
Yeah, as a threshold matter, I don't have enough time. You don't have enough time for us to get into all these things right now. I've heard some wonderful callers bring up horrifying things. But as a threshold matter, I just want people to understand how the OWI laws are written in Wisconsin. They added a second paragraph or a second line to what constitutes OWI in Wisconsin. It's one sentence, Maggie. It says any detectable amount of TF Delta 9.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are buying Delta 9 stuff legally, and I from what I'm hearing, I listen to a little sports radio before I listen to you, and there's a local sports radio, and then we got the guys on the Devils that advertise the new legal products. But my understanding is that there is a legal Delta 9 that is able to be sold in Wisconsin. Well, you know, they take you in for blood tests regularly after OWI. You know, say you get stopped for an OWI and you're a 00 on the blow, but the cop says, because I've had this happen, and the cop says, oh, yeah, you know, they just didn't look right. Then they take you in and they make you give blood. Well, if there's any Delta 9 in your system, then you are susceptible and probably statutorily going to be guilty of an OWI.
Yeah, it's really incredible when you think about how that can operate in real life. And Jeff, I love the fact you pointed out something that I think people with a lot of privilege may not recognize. And that is, the legal term for this is pretext, but police officers can basically, it's the line that is used, is based on my decades of experience as a police officer, it was my professional judgment, my expert judgment, that the person was behaving in a suspicious or guilty manner, whatever the heck that means. And for that reason, they are stopping people, potentially engaging in frisks, and pressuring people to agree to searches of their automobile. Also, let's be honest about it, I smelled the aroma of marijuana is basically on almost any given street at any given time, which again provides a reasonable suspicion and often probable cause for a full automobile search. And off to the races you go, as Jeff well pointed out. Jeff, any concluding thoughts or tips for folks out there? Again, this is not legal advice, everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, the only tip I have is if the police pull you over, don't offer them any statements, but don't give them a hard time, and don't try to run away from them. You know, it's easier for us, those of us who do criminal defense, to defend you if the cop doesn't have a legal reason to, you know, ask you to do something.
Yeah, I think that's the root of it there. And this is very difficult. This is a needle that has to get threaded. Be respectful, be compliant, but do not offer any statements. It was when I was in law school, I made up some business cards, and on the inside, it was a folding business card. And on the inside, it was an invocation of rights. I'll see if I can maybe scrounge one up and read it for the listeners, but let's at least take one more call. Also, we have Philip from Beaver Dam texting, a new texter. Hello, Philip. Thanks for listening and texting. Philip has this to say: the insanity surrounding illegal marijuana in this state is beyond. It should be totally legal, and I don't even use it. Thanks, Philip. We appreciate you listening and texting. Jack from Merrimack, you are on the show. What do you have to say this afternoon?
My stepdaughter lives in Colorado. In fact, she moved there because of their cannabis laws. And she's a rep for a couple of medical cannabis companies. Has supplied me with useful items for dealing with some chronic pain issues. You can't obviously buy that stuff in the state of Wisconsin. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Secondly, she's pointed out that the tax amount of money that they get in Colorado has exceeded, I mean, it's in the billions of dollars. And they use that money for some pretty good purposes, including, by the way, drug treatment programs, as well as some education funding. I'm not sure what else it is that they use it for.
I hear you're breaking up a little bit, Jack. Thanks so much. Yeah, Colorado has frankly run a very successful experiment with legalization. I actually found the business card, Brian. Should I give it a read?
Yeah, but I just think it's very interesting that, so you say you have a daughter, a young person, that left this state because of the restrictive laws here. So you say, huh? Seems
yes.
Like this state has a problem with its retaining its young people. Well,
the brain drain in Wisconsin is a real challenge, folks. And maybe Brian, we should clip this and make sure that it's a standalone link on the Maggie Dawn Show webpage that you can find at civicmedia.us. Here it is. This is an assertion of rights, an invocation of rights. Officer, please understand, I respectfully refuse to talk to you until I consult with my attorney. I also respectfully refuse to consent to any search of these premises or any other premises under my control or in which I have an interest, or my car, my body, or effects. I respectfully desire to exercise all of my rights as guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin to be free from any of your interference with my person or affairs. I wish respectfully to be left alone. If you attempt to question me, I want my lawyer present. I refuse to participate in any lineup without first conferring with my lawyer. If you ignore my exercise of these rights and attempt to procure a waiver, I want to confer with my lawyer prior to any conversations with you. I want to leave. If I am free, I respectfully request that you please tell me that immediately so that I may go about my business. I've never had to read that. I've never had to try to assert my rights. But boy, when it comes to the enforcement of marijuana laws, this vagary that you speak of, Brian, that Jeff from Shorewood pointed out in our very criminal statutes in the state, makes this absolutely ripe for abuse, for targeted prosecutions, for unequal prosecutions, for frankly discriminatory stop and frisks and arrests.
Especially when you're basing it on my professional opinion. Now, if we're talking about my professional opinion when it comes to drinking, yes, I've hung out with a lot of cops and my cop friends are really good at drinking, and I would absolutely know that they would know what they're talking about with drinking. But every single one of them, to a person, has said, I would love to smoke with you, Brian, but I can't. And they won't, and they won't even go near it, which means they have no idea. Professionally, they have stop themselves from actually knowing what it is to be high and to know anything about marijuana. So I do not respect the professional opinion on that.
That's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll take more calls and texts when we get back. We're talking about weed in Wisconsin. What's wrong with us? We're a weed island. And I promised you the Robin Voss bouncing ball. It is coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after these brief messages.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. We're talking about weed in this state. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Give us a text or a buzz. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to listen to some of the evolving opinions from Robin Voss, the king of stupid on this issue in the state of Wisconsin. We've had a couple of great texts that have come in, and I'd like to share them with all of you. The Chuckster from Racine says this: law enforcement traffic stops folks saying they smelled the strong odor of pot in the car before they've conducted a search. They use it to, in fact, justify the search. I'd like to see a law made where they have to call it in first, and if nothing is found in the car, they get a suspension. That would be interesting. Steady Eddie from the 608, really thoughtful text. I really appreciate you, Eddie, for listening and texting in. Eddie says this: hey, you two seem like you are regular weed smokers. Is that clouding your position on weed? Maybe you should get a rational guest with a different viewpoint. I'm so glad, Eddie, that you are that different viewpoint this afternoon. Eddie continues: I don't believe marijuana consumption is all bad or all good. You've talked about the positive aspects of marijuana. Talk about some of the negative aspects. There will be more impaired drivers if marijuana is legalized. More people will be injured and die on the roads. That is a very real human cost. How do you keep weed users off Wisconsin roads? How much weed can somebody smoke and still safely drive? Eddie asks. Is it only when I drive through a red light and kill a pedestrian that I'll be held to account? With alcohol, at least we have a test to measure intoxication. What's your road test for marijuana impairment? Driving is a privilege and not a right. Maybe it needs to be up to marijuana advocates to figure out how much THC you can have in your blood and still safely drive. And there are negative health consequences to using marijuana that you may not be including in the monetary costs of marijuana legalization. Let me first start with thank you, Steady Eddie. I really appreciate
the viewpoint. Yes, thank you.
I want to say a couple of things about that. First, what I object to are laws that are unequally applied that have locked up people on a disproportionate basis based on race. That doesn't work. I don't believe in laws that don't serve an overall community wellness purpose. I think in the state of Wisconsin, our driving epidemic is about people that are driving recklessly, regardless of their sobriety level, and drunk driving. It is literally joked about as a rite of passage in the state of Wisconsin to get a DUI for alcohol consumption. That is a problem that kills more people in this state than almost any other state on a per capita basis. Frankly, if you want to argue about marijuana legalization and whether or not it should be legal because it might kill people on the roads, then perhaps prohibition of alcohol is also in line. That would be the legally consistent approach. Generally speaking, in these United States, we tend to preference personal choice when there is not a clear case to be made that something will obviously end in a bad way. And listen, drinking a ton of booze and getting behind the wheel is a much more dangerous set of circumstances than someone smoking a bit of weed. Now, I think you and I and Brian and some of our other callers, Eddie, agree about your point that the law is, as it's written, doesn't specify an amount of THC that is acceptable. And that is, in and of itself, the problem. Our failure to know what results in impairment has resulted in a default to any amount of THC, which may in some cases lead to over-arrest and over-prosecution. Brian, did you want to add anything?
On a medical level, I've had a lot of medical issues the last couple of years, and every single doctor I've ever talked to, I am 100% completely open about and upfront and like, hey, you need to write this down. I smoke a lot of weed. I consume THC. I want you to write this down. And every time I talk to them, every one of them goes, eh. Like, they can't actually talk about it. They can't give me medical advice. Do you know why? Because they can't use any research on it, because we're not allowed to research it.
Well, that's why the Biden administration trying to get weed off of Schedule One is so critical, because it's on Schedule One. It has prevented the very research study, Eddie, that I think we need to answer your fundamentally important question. That matters. It's how much THC makes someone incapable of driving. Right now, the law presumes any amount above zero. Well, I'll be honest with you, that ain't true.
And on top
of that, it just isn't.
It stays in your system for a long time. So how do you know that it's even still affecting, let alone that it, like, again, you have to have the right kind of testing.
Let's take a listen to the way Robin Voss has been, you know, an evolving bunch of baloney and lies on marijuana legalization. This goes back to 2019. Brian, why don't you cue them up? You know the dates on all these. Let's take a listen, folks.
I have supported medical marijuana for a while. It is clear to me that the votes are not in the legislature right now, especially in the state Senate. But I think it's important for us to have a conversation as to what version potentially could get through.
Okay.
So,
2019, right, Brian?
Yep. And then he goes on up front.
Does the bill pass this year?
I don't know. It could. I think it's unlikely unless we can figure a way to try to find some kind of middle ground consensus.
Some kind of middle ground consensus, huh?
I think you'll see next week that legislation gets introduced in the Capitol about medical marijuana. One of the biggest fears that I have, and I saw it in one of the comments that Governor Evers said, is that it's the first step toward recreational marijuana. That scares the bejesus out of most of the members of my caucus, because we know the wrong thing for Wisconsin is to legalize recreational marijuana. We have way too many drugs. We just went through a huge opioid crisis. The last thing that we need is marijuana shops on every street corner of every small town in Wisconsin, like we're seeing in Michigan and Illinois. They're not good. So if he wants to sign a limited version, I'm happy to work with anybody who wants to do that. But if it's just a precursor to get us toward recreational, it's going to kill the bill. And I hope that won't happen.
You know what that sounds like to me, Brian? Paternalism. Assuming that you know what's good for everybody all the time. And how dare you, King Stupid Robin Voss, compare opioids to marijuana? Do we have time for another one?
Last one here. This is the most recent one. This is about the presser that just happened when they just killed the bill.
Dead's a strong word. I think it's unlikely that it's going to pass this session, unfortunately. When we see that the Senate wants to have a more liberal version than one that we're willing to pass, it probably doesn't leave us enough time with the waning days of the session to get an answer that both chambers
can pass. Thought you wanted to have a compromise, some sort of thing that works towards it. No, you didn't? Okay, Tavern League.
Forget that. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Journal Sentinel commentator James Causey for What's on Your Mind, James. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next, and then Brian and I will be back. Don't go anywhere.
Heartbreaker, dream maker, love taker, don't you mess around with me. You're a heartbreaker.
Talk it out, man.